Hello, everyone. This is Doug Nelson, the president of the Massage Therapy Foundation, and I'm on the phone with Margaret Cherenko from the Atlanta School of Massage. And I would love to highlight some of the wonderful things that Margaret is doing at her school. So thank you, Margaret. Thanks for joining the call.
Hi, Doug. Thanks so much for having me.
This is awesome. Thanks for taking the time to do this. And just as a little kind of overview, can you tell people just a little bit about your position at the Atlanta School and how long you've been doing that?
Sure. I am the massage program director at Atlanta School of Massage, and I oversee our entire massage student population and our instructors. I also am responsible for the liaison position between Atlanta School of Massage and Emory Research Partnership.
Wonderful. And tell us a little bit more about that partnership with Emory University, and how did that begin and how does that work?
Sure. So when I first became a director at the school a little under 5 years ago, I was introduced to research for myself for the first time. I had the opportunity to participate in weekly conference calls with Emory and our research team, kind of starting to jump into the water of what research was in massage. And through those conference calls and speaking with my research team, working side by side with them, kind of learning the ropes, so to speak, of what work they were doing together, I started to gain a great interest in what research was and started getting very excited about what it looks like when we can show the things that massage can do scientifically. Some of the work that we do is with the team is training the research therapists on the protocols that were developed by Atlanta School of Massage, and coordinating with Emory University to conduct research studies to be able to show the benefits of massage therapy with specific populations, specific to generalized anxiety disorder, massage and cancer-related fatigue.
Yeah. Wonderful. And are those primarily the conditions that you've worked with?
Those are the conditions that we have worked with in the past and the recent past. Our last study that we concluded was massage and cancer-related fatigue in a prostate cancer population. Prior to that was breast cancer-related fatigue, and before that, generalized anxiety disorder and massage.
Wow, that's wonderful. And how many research therapists do you have?
Currently on our research team, we have 5 research therapists. As you may be aware, research is a slow process. It takes a great deal of work prior to a research study taking off, with grant writing, grant submission, approval. So when we do not have a research study running, we are actively participating in weekly conference calls with Emory, having research training meetings with our therapists to practice and conduct protocols, refining some of our best practices to ensure that we are 100% ready to go as soon as the next research study begins.
That's awesome. Instead of waiting until that moment, right? You guys are ready to go when the gate opens, which is...
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what a great opportunity for these therapists, just to have a window into that world as well.
Yes, it's been an experience for myself as well, being a massage therapist in the field, stepping into my role and learning what research was through the eyes of the research therapists and the excitement that they brought to the project from all different areas of their lives, coming from different backgrounds and different schoolings and all working together to show the public and to show other medical professionals what we know as massage therapists and how massage makes you feel. But now we can show what it actually does, which is pretty exciting for the team.
I know there's that thing I know Yo-Yo Ma talks about this in the arts and ecological things talk about this, but the edge where two different kind of species come together. So I'm imagining this thing of the massage therapist meeting with researchers and researchers meeting with massage therapists and discovering each other. And in that discovery process, I imagine some really wonderful and surprising things have happened.
Yes. You're right. It certainly has. When I originally stepped into my position, as I stated before, I really didn't have any background or familiarity with research. It wasn't a large component of my education when I was in massage school. And I kind of was a fish out of water, so to speak. But the best analogy that I have for kind of that dance that you talk about with two species coming together was, it was as if I was learning a new language that sure. the research team and Emery were speaking, and it was going through those processes of asking those questions. What does this mean? How does this apply here? You know, being really comfortable with saying, I don't know this question. Can you help me better understand? And the team at Emory has been amazing with supporting our school and the vision that originally Letitia Allen had for massage and research to bring this partnership to life. And they've just been very supportive through the whole process and are always asking, you know, what can we do to help the massage community? How can we best support you all? So it's been a beautiful merging of two different languages, and now we all understand where each other are coming from. It's very nice to work with them.
That's so lovely. I think in many times people in this field feel like, you know, other healthcare disciplines, whatever, people don't understand us, don't understand what we do. But one way to create understanding is speak the same language, right? And mm-hmm. the language of that community is the language of science. And so, you know, it's so wonderful that you are learning that language and teaching other therapists that language as well. So now we can have real connection and communication.
Exactly.
Yeah, very, very cool. Any surprising outcomes in that connection, things that you didn't expect?
Well, one of the things that I noticed for myself and for other professionals that I would talk to about research was, interestingly enough, massage therapists would ask me, well, how can you perform a protocol-based session and not feel like you're a robot?
Yes.
And the client not get that same feeling. And it dawned on me when I heard that question more than once that sometimes massage more often is viewed as an art form, which it is. Everyone brings mm-hmm. their own individualized talents to the session.
Sure.
However, when you speak to the scientific side of it, I learned that sometimes massage therapists can have a very subjective perspective of what massage feels like to the client. Uh-huh. And through our research, rather than saying, I know massage feels good, we've been able to show this is how this protocol benefits our client. And that is our goal. And right. we can still bring our love of the art form to the session without deviating from the protocol to ensure the same consistent care. And it's really kind of almost debunking a lot of the things that I learned in school, where you have a condition that's treated and you assess this specific area. For example, if a client comes in with shoulder pain and you do these specific protocols, these types of treatments, and it depends on what the client is experiencing. But we're starting to find that even through a full body 45 minute light touch protocol, Swedish protocol, deep tissue protocol, that clients are actually reporting a decrease in the pain in specific areas and specific joints. Mm-hmm. So it's really opening my eyes to the possibility that even through protocol-based approaches, we can still achieve the same goal for the client. There's more than one way to approach the table, which is kind of nice to think about.
Absolutely, because suddenly then there are multiple roads to get to the same goal. And the thing is, if you're measuring an outcome, if you're measuring a goal and you're achieving that goal in ways that are surprising to you, I think that's the lovely thing about research, right? Is the, well, then what would explain that? You know, how does that work? And maybe that insight leads you to explore other things that you would have never thought about doing. And that's part of the lovely part of research is how it leads to another and maybe clearer question, or maybe a more important question.
Absolutely. And I think that that's the most beautiful part of where we're at with massage and research right now, is a standardized protocol doesn't have to be something that someone else created for you. You can use your art form of massage to create your own protocol for clients and do that in a systematic approach where your clients are going to benefit, to then possibly be able to show measures or outcomes that that can be documented, which is, that's the best way to, you know, maintain that individual therapist art form, but in a scientific approach. So it's marrying the two together and really understanding how we work together to achieve that goal.
Yep. And it's that intersection of science and art is wonder, you know, just absolute wonder about this amazing field that we're lucky enough to be involved in. So what a cool experience, and what an interesting kind of development in that process. So what suggestions, like, you've done such amazing work there, Maggie, what kinds of things might you think about that you might suggest for other schools?
Well, some of the things that I've learned through the process is keep it simple. There are a lot of, in my experience, there are many students that come into school not necessarily understanding how massage is applied scientifically, but if you keep it very simple and bring them back to a time that's familiar to them in their schooling, something as simple as teaching them the scientific method again and saying, hey, do you remember this from, you know, previous schooling? Mm-hmm. And that kind of sparks a connection where before they may have felt completely disconnected from the research, where you bring it to back to something that they're familiar with, and then that's how you start the conversation.
Sure.
And I've found that when in the past, when that approach was not taken, and we go with, oh, and here's research, you get, sometimes you get blank stares or maybe a little bit of apprehension to explore what that means.
Sure.
But by sharing a common thread with your students of something they're already familiar with and making it comfortable for them, that it's not this foreign language that they have to relearn. They've already started the basic building blocks in their prior school years. And then familiarizing them with topics, or asking them about topics that they would like to learn about. We have students that say, you know, I have family members that are suffering from this type of pathology or have been experiencing this type of discomfort. And then we utilize that approach, or schools can utilize that approach, to then start to search for these types of topics on simple platforms, and how to navigate those platforms, like Google Scholars and PubMed. Mm-hmm. And then I've also learned through that step, then there's another potential barrier that it's easy to navigate if it's done correctly. If you explain to these students the databases that are involved to search for topics of interest, but then you don't show them how to use those platforms, they may hit a barrier. For example, in PubMed, you have to have certain access rights to articles. Sometimes you might only see abstracts. But if you explain that to students about some of the barriers they may face, and that there are ways to explore and still get information, then it takes that frustration that might come from not being able to access an entire article and getting more creative with their search criteria, things of that nature. So yeah. I think it's eliminating the possibility of those frustrations shutting down that educational process, and just really taking them through it step by step. And that's helped us in some of our steps with research in our school.
You know, so I hear two themes that from what you just said. One of them is relevance, you know, that people are more interested in something that affects, you know, their lives, their family, something they might see in their practice. So instead of it being some abstract, you know, condition or whatever, have them be fully engaged by picking something that that resonates with them. And then the second thing is some ways accessibility and not assuming that, oh, it's behind that door over there. Actually walk them to the door, show them how to open the door. Don't just tell them, just don't point in the direction of the door's over that way and assume that they're going to make that leap, because they may get lost in that process.
Exactly. And there are many different doors when it comes to access through technology in itself outside of research. So if you can unlock and open those doors for the students, you're more likely to have that success with their excitement and interest with research, rather than becoming discouraged when they hit those moments where they're not able to access something and then they feel as though they've done something wrong. But
yeah,
just explaining that to them, I've learned, really alleviates a lot of that that anxiety that might come along with the process.
Right. You know, it's a doorway, right? A doorway is an opening into another room, another world. It's also, a door is something that is an obstacle, right? So we want to turn that, make it not an obstacle and make it an opening into another world. So
exactly. And I think that's what we do as educators in any subject area. This is no different. It's just, it can be a little bit more of a complex subject, but it is easily attainable for students if it's done in a very thoughtful and considerate way and in its approach.
Well, I'll tell you, thoughtful and considerate are definitely two adjectives that describe both my personal experience with you as a person and also obviously your leadership in this role. It's really amazing what you're doing, and we're really proud of you.
Thank you. I like to use my own experiences as a director and where I came from as a student, and really having to learn research kind of without a playbook, so to speak. And the Massage Therapy Foundation and NCV, you guys have been doing a phenomenal job of getting exposure to the vast majority of massage therapists. And there are a lot of people in our field that are really putting a lot of energy and time behind helping people become more comfortable with research and what this could mean for our industry. And I think as someone with the platform at a school, it's extremely important to not rest on our laurels through just graduating people and getting them into the field, but how do we advance our field?
Yes.
And I think that that's a responsibility that all administration should have at the schools. And I'm very blessed that I was put into the liaison position and had no previous knowledge of research, and how excited I get about it now because of people like you in your position that are that driving force behind the Massage Therapy Foundation. So thank you so much for your support as well with these goals for our field.
No, it's a pleasure. And really, when you think about the sort of ecosystem that is our profession of massage therapy, a big part of that root system is the health and strength of the schools. Without that, the tree will topple, really. And so that's another part of why the work you're doing is so important.
Yes, so, and it would be amazing for more schools to be doing some of these partnerships. And I will say just a couple of brief points that were integral in my process of becoming more familiar with research was attending the International Massage Therapy Research Conference a few years back. I really had no idea. I was listening to a foreign language when I was there, but through looking into things myself and talking with people and asking questions, and just getting to know different individuals within our field about what they're doing with research and meeting new people, it was a wonderful opportunity to really say, okay, this is a normal conversation for us to have as massage therapists. And there are a lot of people with a common goal for this in our future.
Wow. Well, I look forward to having that conversation again with the IMTRAC that's coming up. But also, I'm also looking forward to kind of mining out some aspects of this conversation, because there are a lot of little jewels inside of just this conversation that I think we can explore in the future. So again, thank you so much. Thank you, Margaret, for all the wonderful work that you're doing at the Atlanta School of Massage. And And again, my hope is to continue this conversation in the future with a few more things as we wrap up the podcast for today. So thank you so much for all the good work.
Thank you, Doug. And I really do look forward to future collaborations with Massage Therapy Foundation and hopefully other schools that have a desire to taking on a project such as the one we have with Emory and mm-hmm. supporting common goals for other schools.
You know, another, in a future episode, Maggie, let's do this. Let's also take a look at maybe bringing one of your therapist researchers on board and including a few other people in that conversation. Sound good?
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Thank you again. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
My pleasure. Have a wonderful day.